want to extend Christian greetings to each one here this morning. Count it a privilege to be here in your midst. I want to thank your generosity for making this possible for our family to be here to witness the school program. It's something we anticipated and look forward to. We miss our daughter Natalia at home, but we're happy that she could serve here with you here and for your school here. And her little sisters were very much anticipating this time too. We got in the airplane in Calgary and boarded, and we sat there for about 2 hours, and then they finally said there's a hydraulic leak, deplane, and go back out to the front. Our youngest daughter sighed and she said, "Oh, are we going to be able to go after all, or do we have to go home?" Anyway, we found a way. They put us on another flight. So we're thankful to be here this morning, and it's a privilege to be here to meet some familiar faces that we hadn't seen in a long time. Our family used to have quite a bit of back and forth with the Martin family, and both of the families had a number of boys, so we had quite a group together when we got together. But it was always an enjoyable time. And I look back at that as good memories. I have a cousin here, Diane, Steve's wife. Also, we have Justin's brother, Larray. Durstein is in our congregation there in Stettler. So there are some connections, even though we're far apart. I'm thankful most of all this morning that we can serve the same God, a risen Savior, this morning. What a privilege. And I'm thankful this morning that we don't have to wait till Easter weekend to celebrate the wonderful provision that Christ has made for us in saving us from our sins. A couple nights ago, Brother Tim asked me if I'd preach here this morning. I'm not used to preaching in this big of a crowd, but anyway, we were here, and I woke up about 2 a.m. and I was laying there thinking about preaching this weekend and what God will lay in my heart. And this simple song, I think it's a children's song, came to my mind, and it just blessed me thinking about it as I was laying there. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy grace and salvation so rich and free. I'm thankful for that this morning. What a privilege. I felt led to preach this morning on Christ, the risen Christ. I chose for a text to take a look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, to start out with. You know, if it wasn't for the wonderful provision of Christ's work on the cross and the finished work of him being risen again, conquering sin and fulfilling what he was to fulfill, if it wasn't for him rising again, we probably wouldn't be here this morning. But we are here because of this wonderful plan that was fulfilled and happened as it was prophesied back in the Old Testament time. Even Isaiah talked and pointed to that. I'll just read these verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. These women went to the sepulchre to find Jesus. He was not there. And Jesus prophesied or said even before that he was going to be crucified, that he was to rise again on the third day. I had to think, you know, these women show the human side of them. They were concerned about where Jesus was. They had followed Jesus before this time and wanted to see where he was. Well, I believe I just had to think about what their emotions must have been like when they got there and the angel told them that he is risen. Well, where is he? Where can we find him? Well, he told them where to go. It says he told them that he went before them into Galilee. It says, there you shall see him. What did they do? They departed quickly. I believe they were just chattering on the way, wondering when they will get to see Jesus. Went there with fear and great joy. They probably ran. It says they did. They did run to bring his disciples word. They were so excited. I had to think, even in our day, when we find Christ in our personal lives, we by faith reach out to him and we found Christ. Are we excited about it and enthused? Is that enthusiasm and excitement, even as we go on in Christian life, is it still evident in our lives? Even through the hard times and the trials that we face in life? I trust it is. The resurrection of Jesus here marked the dawning of a new era. It closed the chapter of the Old Testament, brought in a new and a way more perfect way. And when Jesus rose again and mingled with his people, God still had a plan in meeting man's need even after Jesus went back to heaven. And that was brought out in the work of the Holy Spirit, entering into the life of the believer. Man could now enter into the holiest of holies, where they were, in the Old Testament time, were not allowed to go to. I had to think also of this time of the year. Understand your congregation's looking forward to communion here, and we will be, Lord willing, in this coming month of May. As we reflect on the sacrifice that Christ did for us, for you and for me, that same reverential fear, and when we think of God's love, of sending his only begotten Son for us, should make our hearts well up in gratitude for this wonderful gift. Christ's love that he went, took him to the cross, and he suffered all this for you and for me. Another thing in this, as we look at this passage, it said in verse 2, when this all took place, it says there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. This was quite a moment. for people to witness, but I also had to think forward of what it will be like someday when Christ does return. It's going to be another great moment for the ones who are anticipating Christ's return, but it's also going to be a moment of great fear. And it says that those who have not ready to meet Christ will call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And that is, it's going to be a terrifying moment for them. But to the Christian, we can look forward to that in rest and in peace because of Christ being our risen Savior. Another thing I see in this passage is we see God's power evident in rolling back the stone. You know, the devil could not overpower God's plan. His plan carried out. And same it is for us today. And the devil, as much as he'd like to keep us in bondage and to keep us bound. I'm so thankful this morning that those chains, if we reach out to him, can be broken and we can be free. This reverential fear and great joy should be evident in our daily lives of all those who have an encounter with Jesus. We can never underestimate God's power through our risen Lord. I like the verse that it talks about in Colossians 3, I'd just like to look at that. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's a wonderful thought that we can be risen with Christ. Is our focus, the challenge for us today is to keep our focus on the things which are above and on Christ. There's so many distracting things, but may we keep our focus where it should be. So we look also at these in this passage. Man today tries many of his feeble attempts to secure. Here they tried to secure the body of Jesus in this tomb and keep him there. They went to all kinds of measures to keep him there. But that is futile when you think of God's power and what his plan is. It will carry on. You think of even the time of the Anabaptists when they're martyred for their faith. It says that time was a time of the gospel message spread far and wide, even though they tried to stamp it out. Men still try to deny this event that it actually happened. They try to bring in other things over this time of the year to distract with things that don't even relate to Easter. As was brought up in the devotional this morning, they tried at Easter and Christmas and different times. But to the Christian, these are times that we can reflect and think of God's goodness. The empty tomb this morning serves a powerful testimony to the resurrection of Christ. Another thing that is beautiful in this event where we can, where it is proven that Christ is real, is there were many witnesses of Christ's resurrection. The early Christians, I believe some of them struggled to understand that this is actually had actually happened. They believed. Some of them wanted to actually feel Jesus and to understand and to see that this was for real. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 4 to 8. Says that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So one of the most outstanding proofs that Jesus rose from the dead is that the scripture here records that there was approximately 515 people that got to witness Jesus after his resurrection. And they saw him on about 12 different occasions. Acts 1 verse 3 says that to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things that pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus clearly gave unquestionable proof that he was alive, and it was him. He showed them the scars and the marks. What are some signs we see today as proof of a risen Savior? Well, we can see it through the lives of those who follow Christ. It's evident when they are risen with Christ, there's evidence of life, of care for another. There's a change, of course, from their old ways to the new. Their focus is on Christ. Their lives are centered around him and his work. Another beautiful element that springs forth from a life of a believer is when God's love radiates from that, the life of that person, to those who are needy and those who, even our fellow brothers and sisters, we care about one another and the spiritual vibrancy of one another. This event of the resurrection changed lives, and it still does today. Those who met Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, had their lives totally transformed. The resurrection is validated by the changed lives of his followers. Jesus' life-changing power that changed these fearful, frightened followers on that Easter Sunday night also change us today. This thought brings us to the first point I thought would like to touch on. Three points here this morning. The power of change, the power of victory, and the power of hope. Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. As we look at the life of Apostle Paul, there's nothing in his life that he was not willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. I'm always encouraged by his testimony. Coming toward the end of his life, he says he had fought a good fight. He's kept the faith. He endured right to the end. It was because he was living a risen life through Christ. All is meaningless without the power of resurrection. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Praise God for the power of the resurrection. God wants us to display his love to those around us. He wants us to accept him and live lives that glorify his name. To be in the image of Christ's resurrection is to experience the power of a changed life, allowing by faith, laying hold on what Christ's provision is, change from the old ways to the new, from serving what we once did, serving self, to serving God. Last week we had revivals in our congregation, and Brother Sim had two pictures hung on the wall, and that I really appreciated what he explained there, and it just was made me think of it in what we need to do in order for us to experience the blessings of Christ in our lives. He had a picture of one was of a throne, and the other one beside it was of a cross. And his point was, is when we find Christ, we need to get off our throne and get on the cross and let Christ sit on the throne and reign. We need to let him be Lord of our life, so we can be blessed, find fulfillment. That is where fulfillment is. You know, we studied in their Sunday school lesson, but the lame man, he had to reach out in faith in order for Christ to heal him. And it is the same way for us. And we realize our spiritual need and our condition before Christ. We can't do it on our own strength. We need to recognize that we are dependent on God. We need to reach out to him to find that. Acts 3, verse 26. "Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." There are things in our lives that need changed. Christ is just saying, reach out. Come unto me. I'm here. I will help. I can help you get through those things and find your way. There's a lot of peer pressure that we face in life, maybe especially even in youth. Don't let that hinder you from experiencing the blessing of service to Christ. And it's way more important to be faithful and to stand up for truth rather than be swayed by peer pressure that is unhealthy. Second point, to be in the image of Christ's resurrection is to experience the power of victory. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 15 again, verse 54 to 57. "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." To be victorious over sin and death, there is power in the victory that Christ offers. Victory only comes through Him, through Christ. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, has been given to every true believer, follower of the Lord. And where the Spirit of God is, He makes His presence known. And He helps us to, He is our guide. Let's be sensitive to His leading. Many, sad today, many people, even professing Christians, today actually deny rather than confirm the reality of the resurrection because they are not obedient or committed to the work that Christ has called us to do and how He has asked us to live. And I believe the devil is using this tactic to draw many away. And that's why it's so important that we are alert to our own tendency to maybe listen to a different voice that sounds really close, but not quite right. Let's be careful and be sure that we're following Christ each and every day and how He has asked us, or how He has laid out for us to live. Also, the third point I have here is to be in the image of Christ's resurrection is to experience the power of hope. I am so thankful this morning that I can look forward to each day with hope. That someday we can see Jesus and that we can be ready at a moment's notice to meet Him. Let's live in that reality from every minute, every hour of the day. Let's keep our lives in tune. So that when God does call us, that we can look forward to our heavenly goal. I was, just as an example, before I was married, we took a tour, some people through a Hutterite colony in our area. I remember Sister Diane's father was along, and one of the old, he was a senior minister in the colony, mentioned about a sister from their colony that passed away, and he made the comment, "We hope she made it to heaven," and I remember Uncle Howard's reply. He said, "We can have assurance that we can be in heaven if our lives are in tune." I just remember the feeling it crossed over me when I seen his view, this poor Hutterite man's view of hope. He didn't agree with that. He said, nobody can know until the day of judgment. Well, I'm thankful that we can know. God gives us that assurance. Thank the Lord for that. Many people in the world, you know, Satan does not offer hope. He offers pleasures, but it's like we heard in the devotions, it's counterfeit. There's despair. People live in fear. Many people today in society, scientists, very highly educated people, feel like the world is getting out of control. Man is trying to save the planet through all kinds of means. You know, there's no power in this kind of hope. It's empty. We need to get back to the written word where God gives us the true meaning of hope and where we can put our confidence in. Hebrews 6:19 says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." What a privilege and what a blessing. We have an eternal hope. There is power in the hope that Christ offers. Our hope is in the resurrection. Jesus' resurrection from the dead made a way for our resurrection someday. Because Jesus is alive, we can be a bright hope. We can have a bright hope for the day, for tomorrow. I'm thankful that today, through Christ's resurrection, we can experience the power of salvation through following him, and we can have live a transformed life. Then I want to look at these verses in the later part of this chapter, verse 16 to 20. Jesus' commission. Jesus had a work for his followers. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, when we have experienced Christ in our own lives, God has a work for us to do. I had to think as an example of when Christ is, we're risen with Christ, he has given us a message to relay to those around us. And that is, teach and preach the word to those who do not understand and know him. You know, just as a paramedic or an EMT, when they pull on a scene and there's a life that is on the line, is hardly alive, they do whatever it takes to save that life. Do we look at life today in a spiritual sense the same way? Just recently, about 2 weeks ago, in our community, there was a neighbor man that was neighbor to one of our families there, an older man. His health is poor. And the family that was neighbor, that from our congregation that worked with them, they took them to doctor visits and did things with them. About a week and a half ago, he wound up in the hospital. No, it's probably a little more than that. He was in the hospital for about a week or more. And the brother went in there and daily sat by his bedside. This man had no family. He married late in life. He had a huge farm, many big chunk of land, but his life was empty. No children, no one to care for him. He was by himself in there. Nobody would come to visit him except this brother. He pled with him by his bedside to try and hopefully as he would surrender his heart to Christ. And you know, he turned that down time after time. One morning, the brother sent a text to our church group and said, pray for Bill. His life is fading away. You know, we didn't all know him. I don't know if we really ever met him. But you know, God knew him. And God knew that the prayers of the people cared about him and his soul. And 2 Sundays ago, right after church service, the brother and sister went over there and sat by his bedside, and he asked him if they could at least just pray with him. And he gave in and said, yeah, you can pray for me. And we don't know where his life stands today. God does. But do we have a burden for people to do that? Be persistent in sharing the gospel message with them. Try to save their soul. That is the whole purpose of serving a risen Savior, is to do our part while we have time and opportunity here on earth. This is not just for the older people in our congregation. It's for all of us, young and old. May we be faithful in taking these opportunities in reaching out to those in need. We are called to teach. I was blessed to hear what your group is doing here in this community. When I was at the school, I seen these buses parked there, and I thought it was for school children, but I realized, I found out afterward, it's to bring children to there from the community and teach them. God bless you as you work with them. That's sowing seed. That's doing our part. May we each day take our salvation and the fact that God is at work in us seriously, that we may conduct our lives and our behavior and attitude. Our attitudes should, and the way we conduct our lives should set us apart to be so different from those around us, that we stand out as a bright light to those around us. May it be an opportunity, and we have a message on our lips to share. Our lives, may they reflect Christ in everything we do and say. When they do, God does give us opportunities to share with the world. What greater purpose in life than what we are called to do? It's fulfilling. Nothing else can fulfill like this work. In conclusion, being in the image of Christ's resurrection means experiencing his power in our lives. He has the power to change hearts, to change souls, to follow him. He has the power to give victory every day of our lives. It is our responsibility to turn to him when we feel that we need assurance or help. He has the power of hope. I'd like to just look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. And this is a record that God hath given us to eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He hath sent his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God is there for us. We have so many wonderful provisions. We have no excuse not to be victorious and to make it through to eternity. So may we be found faithful. Christ has made it possible for everyone to live the resurrected life. May our lives be lived out and always bring honor and glory to his name. May we have the good news of salvation on the tip of our tongue. Question I want to leave with us today. Does our life testify to the reality of the resurrection? May it do that from day to day. May God add his blessing. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our righteous eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for this wonderful provision through the gift of your Son. We thank thee, Lord, that you are risen, Savior, that you're seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding on our behalf, and that you love and care for each one of us who is present here today, but we even so much more that you love the whole world and that you desire that all would find rest. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, each one here who has claimed your name. Be faithful and walking with you each day, and may we look to you for strength and courage to stand for truth. Pray to you, O Lord, bless this congregation as they reach out in this community here, that their lives would be a demonstration and a reflection of you and what you have done for them. And may many souls find their way. Just guide and direct, bless our day today as we fellowship together. And may your name be honored and glorified in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.